Hey guys, day 5 of the Ireland in 32 project. I'm sitting here in the office of recently re-elected MLA Daniel McCrossan of the SDLP. We're in Strabane, one of his two offices, and I'm sitting drawing Daniel. I'm just drawing him. I'm not going to colour him in. He's sitting here in a beautiful office with a wonderful view of, what is this, Strabane?
Strabane, yeah.
And as I'm colouring him, colouring Daniel in, I'm going to ask a few questions. And I just want to keep it simple. Daniel, tell us a little bit about your upbringing, your childhood here on the border, and how you got into politics.
Yeah, well, I've lived in Strabane most of my life. Until I went away to university in Liverpool in 2007, where I studied law with the intention, the sole intention, of becoming a solicitor. Simply because I was fascinated by representation of the public and the challenges involved in the courtroom and ensuring that justice prevails. And I suppose ultimately it's quite tied to politics, and that's what probably took me ultimately on the path that I find myself on today. But I'm one of five. I have two brothers and two sisters. I'm the second oldest, I'm the only one that hasn't got any children. At this stage,
right.
But that's to be expected. Hopefully, at 28 years of age.
Yeah. You're quite atypical as a you're extremely effective politician, in terms of rhetoric, on the floor, very very forceful. But you have on social media, might I say, your updates are really rigorous and on point and very regular. But you're also one of the most sort of down to earth. Guys, is that important to you?
Absolutely. I was always told, no matter where you go in life, never forget where you come from, never forget your grassroots. And people in Strabane are renowned for being very down to earth, very approachable, friendly people. And I would like to think it's a key characteristic of my personality. It's also a very necessary one when it comes to being a politician, particularly someone that you want the public to relate to, that they feel comfortable with, and that they feel can represent them. And it's no easy trait, given that you're so, I suppose your whole life becomes so public. It's very difficult to be down to earth because you're all the time thinking of what is appropriate and what's not. But I also have to remember that whilst I am in the very privileged position of being elected for the second time in a year as the MLA for West Tyrone, I also have a life to lead as a 28-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
It's important that I build relationships and friendships in that regard. But I also think that that down to earth approach that I have, in terms of no matter what you need, come and see us, and if we can help you, we'll help you. I think that has helped to my election success. It's also helped me double the SDLP vote in West Rome since Joe Byrne stood in 2011.
Yeah, well, anyone aware with sort of storming politics, you'll see a lot of talk and clock politicians. So I'd say we could do a bit more of that sort of down to earth, more agile thinking when it comes to politics. Anyway, before I ask you, I want to ask you about Brexit, but before I ask you about that, when I was asking you about your youth, I was wanting to hear about maybe if you're in Strabane, back across the border, is that something that would have happened in your youth?
Yes, Strabane is one of two twin towns. You have Lifford on one side of the border and Strabane on the other. The only thing that separates the two is a river, the River Mourne. The three rivers that it's ultimately called, just where the camel's hump is. And for anyone that's familiar with the border area in Strabane, and Lifford will realise that it is historically renowned for quite a divisive territory, where the British Army had their checkpoints on the Strabane side of the border. And I remember as a child actually going with my family, we'd often went down to Donegal, day away in a car. There's four or five children there. It's not an easy thing to do. So we went maybe down south to Downings or something.
Aye.
And I always remember crossing the border. I remember the boot being opened to the car. I remember the British Army. So I recall that, and remember that was it was 1988 before the agreement was reached. So I would have been about 10 or 11 years old then.
Yeah.
So I recall quite clearly in that regard. And like living in Strabane is right on the border. It is the border town.
Yeah.
And I cross the border daily. There's no day I wouldn't cross the border to get fuel or to get bits and pieces or see friends and family. A family live on both sides of the border, and I've never ever considered it as a border because it's been so easily travelled across and between. It's only now, when the issue in question of Brexit comes about, that we realise how invaluable the Good Friday Agreement was in breaking down the barriers of physical division on this island of Ireland. And the barriers, realistically, in the last number of years have only been political. And unfortunately, Brexit throws some uncertainty into that.
Yeah. I was going to say at the introduction, but I didn't. Well, here it is now. We had 10 days in America, and one of the big themes for you, beyond the sort of soft diplomacy network and so forth, was to really hammer home to those who were hosting us the magnitude of a hard Brexit or bringing in a hard border. I heard you many times talk about living on the border, and you know, I appreciated what you were saying, but I don't think I realised just how intimate it is. I've driven from Carrigart in Donegal, Letterkenny, and Letterkenny's 30 miles from here. I got to Lifford, which is just across away from here. So you're in the Republic of Ireland, literally 2 minutes away. Well, I just came over the bridge, and I just couldn't get over how quickly it happens, and almost seamlessly. So what you're saying about the change post 1998 is very real. So with Brexit, I know you touched on it there, but what do you see happening and what needs to be done?
Well, at the minute, it is a seamless border. In fact, in my view, Ireland has been more united than it's been in years, given that there has been no physical border. I don't want to see a physical border, but with the SDLP, what I would like to see is special status. And quite simply, what that is things remain as they are. It's important for trade here. If you look at this town, Strabane's an area that through the Troubles was destroyed by IRA bombs and division and a very difficult time. From that, we have never emerged from the ashes to deliver any prosperity. It's been quite a difficult story for people here in terms of unemployment and poverty. I would like to see that turned around, but it is the tale of Twin Towns. It is the tale of border areas. They do tend to suffer more than anywhere else in terms of economic activity. But it is a huge part of the fabric of life for people here, for me and for others. I definitely don't want to see a physical division of this island. I certainly don't want to see it my doorstep. Strabane, on a Northern Irish perspective, is one of the very few areas that will actually be out of Europe, but will have a great view of the EU.
Yeah.
And that literally, even looking from my office window as we sit here, I can see Donegal. And that's the link, that's the closeness between Donegal and Tyrone.
Yeah.
And remember, Donegal is a part of Ulster.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's huge things at risk here. And I think people are now beginning to realise the magnitude of Brexit and the consequences it will be for daily life.
Yeah. In the last 2 minutes, I want to come to another big issue, and that is following your re-election. Obviously, we're stuck in a period of deadlock with Sinn Féin and DP unable to come to agreement and unable to form an executive. How are you looking at the current situation?
With great worry. People need to realise that the dangers of using language loosely, and I think that Arlene Foster didn't realise the significance of that. I do think her predecessors, Ian Paisley and Robinson, eventually grasped that nettle. But I think that Arlene has been reckless in her attitude, and that is what's led ultimately to this huge stalemate that we're in. And there's much more at sacrifice than the DUP or Sinn Féin egos. What about the health service and education and roads? What about people's real lives? What about the poverty issues that exist and the lack of opportunities for our children? That needs to be to the forefront of the minds of politicians. Politicians are elected to improve the lives of our people. They're not there to make things worse. I think there's a big programme of works ahead, and I'm very, very concerned about whether the DUP and Sinn Féin have that in their interest.
Yeah. Before we end it, we've got 1 minute left. I'm going on this project, and for me, it is to look at Ireland in the future, in this decade of centenaries. What's your hope in the next 50 years for Ireland, north and south?
I want people to grow up on a land that is prosperous, that delivers opportunities for us all, that we can all live together, shoulder to shoulder, thrive together, grow together, and learn from each other. And I think that was the vision of Human Mall, and that's the vision of the SDLP, and that's the one that I stand by entirely at the age of 28 in 2017.
Okay. Daniel, thank you very much for your contributions. Thank you so much for your hospitality.
Good steak.
I got an enormous feed here. It's good to catch up with you after America. I wish you all the best, and I hope they get things going, and hospitals, education, schools, housing, we'll get back to those issues.
Thanks for having me, and see you soon.
Good to see you, Brian.
And to the listeners, see you soon.